you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
All right, welcome in, everyone. It is 8 p.m., July 2nd, 2020. I'm Dave, that is Jim. We are one half of Keystone State Paranormal Society, and this is Penetrating the Veil, the one-hour internet radio, Facebook live streaming, interactive paranormal talk show. Tonight, we are going to go over the history and the haunted reports of the next place we have on our investigation schedule. And that place is none other than the Hinsdale House in Hinsdale, New York, owned by Daniel Place. Thank you. And we will be there next Thursday. So, yes, our two-hour live show next Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Live Paranormal Facebook page will be from the Hinsdale House. Welcome in, Michelle. Thanks for joining. We'll let a few people populate into the live stream before we get too far into it. I was able to get a hold of Daniel about 2 weeks ago, I guess, and he had openings and it fit our schedule, so we jumped at the chance to get in and investigate this very active, very known location. There's all kinds of stories and reports coming from it, but we'll go over some of that as well as the history. I was not able to find anything prior to the 1970s, which is a little odd. Now, granted, I didn't have a whole lot of time to research it, but I know there's obviously history before the 1970s. but most of the haunted history started around 1970s. Welcome in, Jerry. So what we have is, in the early 1970s, I believe it was 1973. Let me verify that date. July 1973, the Dandy family moved in to the century one, so it was a century old when they moved in 1973. So we're looking at the 1870s when it was built. Welcome in, Theo. We are doing fine. Thank you for asking. How about yourself? So it was a century old farmhouse when they moved in 1973. So somewhere in the 1870s, I'm guessing this place was constructed. And it is tucked away in the woods of Hinsdale, New York. And they moved in and thought they had found the home of their dreams, which everybody thinks they do when they first move into their newest home. But it wasn't within days after they moved in. They began to experience strange paranormal activity that only continued to grow worse as time went on. Most often, the phenomena would manifest in the form of mysterious phone calls and a variety of poltergeist activity. Sometimes the family would even hear chanting emanating from the nearby woods. And Jim, if you get a second, if you could look up and see if you can find any history of the land itself, or any tales of the surrounding lands, I'm guessing it would be Native American in origin. Of course, we'd have to look that up. Welcome in, Eric. Nice to see you again, bud. So they experienced this range of activity, from phone calls to poltergeist activity and chanting in the nearby woods. John McGinnis, welcome in, my friend. So they tried to chalk it up to overactive imagination. Sorry, I'm just not speaking well tonight. Sorry. As most people do when they are living in a location that is that active and it's something that they're not familiar with. Hi, Tracy. Thanks for joining. So they began seeing full-body apparitions of a woman in white, bizarre animal-human hybrids, even what they believed could be demonic non-human entities. That's a pretty wide range of things that
there's evidently a 20-minute YouTube video in the woods.
Okay.
That you can look at.
Okay. Well, once we get a little further in, we can, if you write that link down for me, I can post it, or just the name of it or whatever. I'll look it up and post the link. One of the most frightening stories from the family would go on to tell was a night when they noticed a group of strange faces staring in their windows. However, when Mr. Dandy ran outside to chase away the trespassers, the faces had reversed and were then peering back at him from inside the house. And I can absolutely understand where that would be very unnerving. It was at this point that the hauntings began to turn violent. Objects began levitating around the house, and at one point a lamp from the living room threw itself at one of the Dandy daughters. The last straw came when Mr. Dandy experienced a state of amnesia, unable to remember some of the most frightening incidents. So what they did is they called in Father Alphonsus, who was a priest at St. Bonaventure University, to perform an exorcism while the family and a team of paranormal researchers were there. Hi, Holly. Happy belated. And according to the eyewitnesses of said exorcism, the paranormal activity became the strongest it had ever been. Lights in the house were turning on and off, unexplainable banging filtered through the walls, and a terrible sense of an evil presence drifted through the home. Now, according to this report, which is just one of many, unfortunately the exorcism didn't work, and after a few days of calm in the house, the activity ramped up again, finally forcing the Dandies to move from the home. And they moved out in October of 74. So they stayed there, a little over a year.
That video, by the way, was just posted June 30th.
Okay.
Like within a few days.
Right. So they stayed there a year and 3 months. Obviously, everyone who's familiar with this location knows it was purchased by Daniel Clace for the historic Hinsdale House Restoration Project, and he uses it as a local paranormal investigator for research purposes, and it was the Dandy family actually wrote a book about the experience, of their experiences in the house. And it was featured on the 5th episode of Paranormal Lockdown, where Nick Roth and Katrina Weidman spent 72 hours living and investigating in the home. During their investigation, both seasoned investigators experienced a range of familiar activity associated with the house, including chanting, banging, and an overwhelming sense of confusion. Many haunted homes have tried to take the coveted title of being the next generation's Amityville, but Hinsdale House looks to be in the lead for that title. So they actually do recommend that seasoned, experienced investigators apply to rent the location. Not that I think they're going to turn anybody away, but I just think for safety's sake, they would prefer seasoned investigators. The book written by the Dandy family was called Echoes of a Haunting, and it was Clara and Phil Dandy were the parents who lived there with their children and authored the book about their time there. Years had passed after they moved out, and a few families had lived in the home but didn't stay long. And that's where Daniel came in. So there's a lot of research that can be done as far as the home, and I'm sure there's tons of YouTube videos and probably a boatload of camera footage from paranormal investigations that have been done there. Obviously, Daniel has been there multiple times as he owns it. I know a friend of ours, Chelsea Gill, who is a psychic medium, it's like a second home for her. So,
you know. Tell them you've been for some reason this place is backing into
you. I'm not sure why. But it's about 7 months now, yeah? About 7 months ago, six, 7 months ago, I had a very, very vivid dream, the most vivid dream I've ever had in my life. Every other dream I've ever had where I remembered things, it was bits and pieces. I remembered this dream as if it was a movie I had watched, and I was the star. And I have never seen the inside of the Hinsdale House, so I have absolutely no verification of this, and I have no reason to think so, but when I found that it was available and had opened back up for rent, as far as a paranormal investigation went, something about this place was just calling to me, telling me I had to come there, and that it would have to, I just have this immovable gut feeling that the events that took place in this dream I had will be more explained and more understandable once I get there. So we will be there next Thursday. We're going to get there. We're going to do our two-hour live show from the location, and then we will investigate. We're hoping, I haven't had a chance to contact him, but we're hoping that Daniel will have some spare time that day to be the guest on the show and talk about the look at the house and everything. You know, obviously, being the owner, he's probably got a lot more than you've read about on the internet, as far as tales. So, we've said there's a bunch of, here, let's see if I can't just grab one real quick and copy the link for you. YouTube videos. Now, Jim, what did it look like, the one with the about the woods? Did you happen to see what it?
Well, they're investigating similar to what you said. I guess, you know, it's interesting, and the video doesn't go into account with this.
Now, here's one 6 months ago, what we captured in the woods at his Hinsdale house can't be explained.
Evidently, that county, it's Cattaraugus County, if I'm pronouncing it correct. Okay. There's a book called The Paranormal Almanac of Western New York. And it's said to be, a paranormal said to be anything presenting a puzzle to the general accepted picture of reality. In this book, it's tons of stories of unusual happenings piling up in certain places. And anyhow, such a location exists in the township of Hinsdale. So the activity is by no means isolated to just this house. It says there's an area there in the Paranormal Almanac called the Devil's Elbow. And this county is considered, in the older days, a particularly hazardous coach trail. It was long, it was winding, it was within a half a mile of the legendary Hinsdale House on the Hill. And they said there even, it hasn't been verified, but the Hinsdale House could have even been a way station for this carriage.
Huh.
And then there's another book called Shadows of the Western Door, where they devoted 2 pages to telling the tale of the Hinsdale House. Tales of effects or happenings are given, such as the oil system would shut off precisely when a new owner returned from work. This happened for weeks. Fuel company couldn't figure out. A wood stove converted to propane often geysered foot-high flames. A hanging picture slanted, a lie on its accord. Flies swarmed rooms in the attic. Strange small moving lights seemed timed to the flaring stove. Basically smoke alarms constantly being set off. At times the house was permeated by an overpowering, unexplained perfume, widely taken as a sign of a murdered woman, whose daughter was often spotted in old dresses in nearby fields. The woman of the house repeatedly heard a little girl calling from outside. Finally, a minister is alleged to have said, "Some ground is just bad. No one knows why. Just leave as soon as you can and take only your things with you. Don't discuss your plans inside the house. The place is just a hole to hell."
Huh. Hmm. So this is... Yeah, this is going to be a little bit out of our comfort zone then, I think, maybe.
Definitely. Evidently, too, Discovery Channel made an episode for their show, a haunting television series titled Dark Forest, which aired in September of 2006, and that was based on this county and the regional areas. And that author, Mason Winfield, has a website at
winfield.com. Okay, and that's the guy who wrote that article?
Yeah, he's written all about this devil's elbow in a series of books.
Okay.
And there's evidently several other authors who've keyed stories in and around the historics of this area. And this particular website, which is it's the historic path of Cattaraugus County, and it's complete with a number, actually 27 photographs of some of the area and some of the historic photographs. So it's a really neat little comprehensive site which gives you a real feeling for the schools and the area. And there's evidently been several books which have documented the history of this.
Yeah.
It's often felt that most of this does relate to Indians.
Okay.
And exactly how that was fitted into everything, I can't really find a reference.
Okay. And I believe if you go on to, if you look it up, you can find live static cams of the Hinsdale living room and things like that. So, you know, this place is rife with activity. I'm curious though, because this has happened to us in previous investigations, where we've heard reports of negative energies, nasty entities, and things like that, and we go on site and experience none of that. So I'm curious to know if when we get on site, our positive outlook and our positive chemistry and our positive energies and auras will kind of bring out the lighter side of the haunting, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what I'm expecting. It's what usually happens for us.
We'll see.
Yeah. Now, there is a video also on YouTube of someone, and I'm not going to give his name because that would just not be right of me, but it says, where'd it go? I just had it up. Oh, after a relatively quiet start to our investigation, we decided to do a little provoking. And me personally, people investigate how they investigate, and it is not up to me to tell them one way or the other. I know we don't do that. We don't believe in that. We find that very disrespectful to spirit. But just as a common sense thing, at least for me, if I'm in a place that has the kind of activity reported from this location, I do not think that I would ever want to provoke it. because it's nothing you can control.
Well, here's something I just uncovered. There's another author called Robert Dark Owl. Sounds like he's an Indian.
Right, probably a Native American shaman of some kind.
And evidently he had written a book called Seasons of Doom. And in pages 104 to 110 in that book, titled, I guess his chapter's called The Hinsdale Horror, he's Seneca Indian traveling to the location. He previously visited a shaman in Hinsdale while doing research on his ancestry.
Okay.
The shaman had told Robert that the Senecas living in the area had committed an unnamed transgression that led to their extermination.
Huh.
Robertson's story tells of animal apparitions and children living in the house walking with burn marks. Dark Owl sees shadow people peering from the windows, and all had haunted eyes. Their voices rose in a chant, and it's basically, they spell it out, it's an Indian chant. It basically sounds like it goes, Sagawata, Sagawata, repeated three times. So, that's, that's some pretty crazy land.
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, it's the warm time of the year, so we should be able to get some time outside, assuming we're not eaten by mosquitoes or anything like that, that we can get out there and investigate a little of the grounds itself. Welcome in, Dwayne Johnson. Thanks for joining.
I meant to tell you, I guess we need to get a place to crash. What time are we coming out of there?
I'd have to look up the message that he sent me. Let me find that real quick. I mean, I know there are places in the house that you can sleep. I don't know if that's something
okay,
we're going to want to do or not.
We'll discuss how we're going to handle that.
Yeah, okay.
And there is nearby, I guess, there's a town called Olean, New York, which evidently has quite a history of African American, and there's actually a walking tour of that history there in that town.
Okay. Let's see.
And the old Chautauqua Road basically gives you a first-hand feeling for the history of the county.
Okay. Can look it up. I'm sure it's going to tell us the exact time. Let's see. Okay, so the details are. I think he said, I could be wrong, but I think he said we could get there somewhere around 6. So that would give me 2 hours to get stuff set up for the show. But I'll confirm with him before either over the weekend or on Monday exact times and, you know, what it's like inside as far as sleeping there or not. Jenny from Emerald Isle Paranormal Researches, welcome. I think Linda has said that she's going to have to cancel her trip to the bash for COVID fear and Carl and
sure, absolutely.
So, and that's a shame. But there'll always be more. So, I really couldn't tell you what it is about this place that is just drawing me in and fascinating me. I wish I could, but I just know that something keeps coming into my brain and saying, you have to get there, you have to get there. And I just have this gut feeling that more of my dream is going to be opened up and explained when I get there on site. Something's going to open up for me. I'm not sure what. So, assuming that we have the Wi-Fi or a good signal or whatever, we will be doing live feeds from there. We try to do that every time, of course, but and of course they have the Hinsdale House Restoration Project Facebook page, which you can go on there and look up the various things about the location and some of the EVPs that they've put up on there and things of that nature, and see what Daniel is up to. I know we'll see him in 3 weeks at the bash. They have public ghost tours. They have privates as we're getting, just so we can make sure that we have as much control of the environment as possible. So we know if we hear something that's not Jim, Haley, or I, that we've got something to really look into and sift through the audio and video footage to try and isolate. It seems that, a lot of these places kind of burst onto the scene with the advent of the paranormal television show, but, this one is not one of those ones that you've never heard of until the TV show came out. This place has got a rich history. As I said, the original family that started experiencing the reports of activity from 73 to 74 penned the book Echoes of a Haunting about their time they spent there, which was, again, a year and 3 months. So, this was long before any of the TV shows came a-calling. So Patty says she needs to check in more often. She's never seen so much hair on me. It's still pretty short. I just haven't shaved it a couple days. So I shaved it right before I had my neck injections on Monday, which was not fun, but necessary. So, do you get any sense about the look about the house, Jim?
No, I haven't really even thought about it.
Okay.
To be honest, I'm not. I haven't really investigated anything about the house, and can't say I've really picked up on anything.
Okay. I know Holly Catalo has been there several times, and she put in there that she has never encountered anything negative. So.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's the way it rolls for us.
Yeah. Like I said, we seem to have a more positive approach to these locations with reports of darker activity that for one reason or another, seemed to skip over us.
And that wouldn't make me necessarily dismiss any of the reports.
No, no, you can't say those things never happened. You just have to say that we didn't encounter them.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, that would have made me sad because I would have been looking for stuff to come flying around and stuff to get knocked over and things like that. But now, you know, that's just not what that's just not our forte anymore, at least not mine. We looking to go in and help as much as we can. I know personally, as far as me, there's very little I can do to help. Other than bring a positive attitude and a compassion for spirit. You know, that's more Jim and Haley's realm. I don't possess any skills to really do anything for them other than to listen and to document and to respect. But, you know, sometimes just doing that goes a long way. There was a time that we were at a location where Spirit specifically asked me not to go into a certain part of the house. So everybody else was there but me, and I kind of felt left out, and, you know, why am I even here? I'm just a monkey that holds a camera. And next thing you know, there's activity outside on the grounds that specifically requests me. So, you know, you just have to know that you're there for a reason, and it may not be obvious or clear to you what that reason is until it becomes clear what that reason is. So I just try and go in and do the best that I can with respect and compassion and a genuine curiosity to listen, understand, and convey any messages or sentiments that the Spirit may have for someone on our side of the veil. And then hopefully that wins their trust enough to open up to our group as a whole.
And then might as well go ahead and mention we have then coming up the weekend of the 17th and 18th, which is
the very following weekend.
That Saturday we'll be participating at Steve Hummel's event in Moundsville.
The Haunted Relic Expo up at the Sanford Center in Moundsville, West Virginia. That's on Saturday the 18th. We will be there.
And with that, we will be in the Bel Air House.
Correct.
Friday and Saturday night.
Right. And so, you know, Haley will not be able to attend that one. She has to find child care, as I do sometimes. And so she won't be able to make that one. It's Hinzo House this coming Thursday. And the weekend following that, the 17th and 18th, will be in Moundsville/Bel Air for Steve Hummel's Haunted Relic Expo and the investigation of the Bel Air House. And then the following weekend is the Bash, where we will be at the Thaddeus Stevens House, as well as, obviously, at the Gettysburg Battlefield Bash. So July is going to be a very busy month for us. I imagine that August we will take a break to regain our energies, especially with one of the places we do this month being the Bel Air House, which we know what it can do, and one place that we are completely unfamiliar with altogether.
And then last night, we might as well go ahead and...
Yeah, I can play these for you.
Yeah, last night we were invited by Kayla Miner, she's living in Gettysburg, and it's in one of the homes there, right in the major part of the city that was there during the battle. So yesterday was the anniversary of the first day's battle. And so we were there where she is. There's a very dominant lady who doesn't wish to pass over, according to Kyla. Kyla's a sensitive medium, very gifted, and she's well taken care of by Mrs. K. It's Mrs. What was it? Fitzmiller.
Mrs. Kitzmiller.
Kitzmiller. So,
and she preferred to be called Mrs. Kitzmiller, so we couldn't call her by her first name. We couldn't call her Mrs. K. She preferred Mrs. Kitzmiller.
So,
and she ruled the roost.
She really did. And we had an interesting night. It was just a real friendly conversation with her. Her husband came in the picture. We discussed German ales for a little bit. But anyhow, there's two clips. The one here is from last night, and that's on Steve's recorder. That's the one about Mrs. It's Mrs. K.
Mrs. K's house dance.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see
and
what this
first one is. I heard something and picked up. So that's that. But the end of it, when you had gone up in the attic and found a dead squirrel, and that's not Kayla's voice, and you'll hear like, poor thing, or something like that. When you're talking about the dead squirrel, to play that.
There's a dead squirrel up there.
Poor thing. That's that first one, and I.
That sounds like it says, "There's that squirrel."
Okay,
that's what it sounds like to me.
Remember, we heard it last night, and I couldn't really distinguish it, but that was...
Or that's a squirrel or something like that.
Okay.
But that is prior to me telling her there's a dead squirrel up here,
then,
and she didn't know until I told her.
Then you say there's a dead squirrel, and then that's encapsulated. I think it's saying poor thing at the very end.
There's a dead squirrel up there.
Poor thing. And that's not Kayla. So anyhow, that was the one. I got that on there. Now, this one is really sort of weird. This was, I'm assuming, the lookout house when Marie and Earl were up.
Okay.
And it's almost like an incantation.
Okay.
It's definitely none of us.
Okay,
that makes sense to me.
In Matus Mate?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Thank you. I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound English, I know that much.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure what that is. There you go.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting. I couldn't make it.
No, I think we should post that on the Facebook page, that one, so we can see if anybody else can decipher what it's saying. Maybe it's a language that some of our listeners or followers are familiar with and maybe able to translate.
Okay, yeah, I haven't yet.
It definitely does not sound English to me. Hi, Colette, welcome in. So, again, having very basic Spanish as my only ulterior language.
Oh, and while we're at it, might as well go ahead and plug some of our upcoming guests.
Okay.
We've got, now this is a little scatterbook because this, obviously next week we'll be at the Hinsdale House doing our live broadcast.
Right.
Then the next week we have Steve Hummel on the 1 hour show.
Okay.
So we'll be, this is right before we go up there to Bel Air.
Right.
So we'll
right.
be talking about that Haunted Relics
Expo. Right.
Then the next day, the next Thursday is our 2 hour, and we're at
the Bash. So we'll be at the backyard at Thad Stevens. Now, I've had Chris Sanders say that he's going to stop by. Ernie Atwell is going to stop by, and I think Twisted will stop by again as they did last year. So.
Okay.
Hi, then, Frank. Welcome in.
Then we get into, we have a 1 hour to finish off July on the 30th.
Right.
Then we have for three straight weeks, we have starting August 6th for a 2 hour show, we have a returned. We have a return guest, Sheet Noir, who's actually doing her own broadcast now.
Okay, now, for that one, there may need to be a class involved, because if we take our vacation, then I won't be here. So I'll have to show you how to set this up and do that. But, you know, you and her had such a great rapport, I don't think you'll have the time knocking off 2 hours talking
to her. Yeah, no, that's fine. Then, 2 hours after that one, on the 20th, we have Haley's guest, Kendrick Gibbs, who's that's with the metaphysical and mocks and everything. Then the next two-hour program begins September, and we have Brian Bowden, who is the author of that piece we talked about, the translucent...
Oh, the humanoids?
Humanoids.
Okay, fantastic.
Put out
we actually got
them. Clips.
Cool.
And
we're still waiting to hear back from, was it Steve?
I've heard back from him.
Okay.
He's 2 weeks later, we have Steve Stockton, who...
Fantastic.
Both Brian and Steve are authors. Steve co-authored a book with Cisco and was a recent guest on Coast to Coast.
Okay.
So there are two-hour formats in September... And that puts us into October, so...
Okay.
So we've got a number of interesting guests coming up.
Absolutely.
With the two-hour formats.
Okay. As you can see, we have really been trying hard to get some top-flight guests to come on and talk about the paranormal and branching out into cryptozoology and metaphysics. Colette, I'm doing all right. Thank you. I appreciate your concern. I'm doing better. The shots seem to be slowly but steadily helping. So I think when, you know, assuming she's not serious about canceling that vacation, I'll have to show you how to set up the live feed and everything. But I can't, it's been, and you know what, it's, you know, I know I'm a broken record, and I say this every time we have a new location, but I am truly excited about this one, more so than I have been in a while. I just know there's something there for me, and there's something there is calling for me. I don't know what it is, and I don't even know if I'm going to pick up on it when I get there, but... Something's telling me I have to go.
Wow, and we got to put out a happy birthday to Olivia de Havilland turned 104.
Wow.
Today.
And she's still alive.
Yes, she's living in Paris. She's been for a number of years.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, still lives in Paris.
Happy 104th birthday, Olivia de Havilland.
Wow.
I mean, think about it, Jim. That would mean you would have another
36
years,
yeah,
37 years.
I couldn't even something like that. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. But you got to remember it, too, and this is something that's kind of off topic, but we don't talk about is, let's say you live to be her age, right? Imagine the kind of medical advances that could happen between now and then that may actually make your quality of life better. You know? I mean, that's another thing, you know. I know I'm getting older. I'm not quite in your stratosphere yet, but I'm creeping up there. I'm coming up 150, and, you know, my body's letting me know every day just how close I am to 50, and I still have hope that at some point something's going to come out and my quality of life is actually going to get better because of medical and technological advancement.
I mean, some of the co-stars who were similar in age to her, I mean, she, you know, they may have had like 5-6 years on her.
They've
been
dead
for 50 years, yeah. Like Errol Flynn and stuff like that. She, you know, she starred... They died with their boots on. We played Custer. She played Custer's wife in the movie.
Now, did she star with any of the cast, say, like Here to Eternity or anything like that, do you know?
No, but, I mean, she
was she around their age?
Betty Davis and all that. And,
so would she have been around their age?
She would probably been a little older.
Okay.
But not much, by 5-6
years.
Well,
but still, most of those guys.
They're all gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, all these, she was in a number of very, you know, sort of centerpiece movies, and I'm sure she's the only surviving cast member. I mean, the thing, Gone with the Wind was shot in 39.
Right.
She's the only surviving person who's in that picture.
Huh.
And there was an awful lot of people.
Yeah, there were.
So... That's wild.
I'm curious to know if there anybody had such luck with The Wizard of Oz. Because that was 1932, wasn't it? Something like that? I know the original Dracula, well, not the original, but the original Dracula with Bela Lugosi was 1931. So, that's very crazy. Yeah, I mean, 104. That would say that I've got over 50 years left in my life. I don't, you know, when I think about it that way, I'm like, I don't know if I want to live that long, but again, who knows what's coming with technology and medicine that may make those last 30 some odd years better than they are right now. Who the hell knows, you know? So that's quite an accomplishment. And I know, Holly, you said you've done the Hinsdale House several times. I don't know if anybody else that's listening has. But I'd like to take a day during the week here and get a hold of Daniel and see if he's got some spare time just to kind of talk and just hear some of his stories. Now, not necessarily the entire history of the place, because I do want to kind of figure some of that out once I get on site. But just to hear some of the things that we may be in for. I'm almost positive Haley will want to know nothing. She would probably just want to go on site and kind of walk around and let things come to her as they do. So.
Debbie Dickey says we'll feel the Hinsdale House as soon as we leave the expressway.
Okay. Now, the question is that a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out in 1 week. 7 days we will be there. And we will be live like we are right now. Hopefully with Daniel Clay sitting in a chair between us. And the background will either be the inside of the NCAA house or the outside, depending on the weather and the conditions as far as Wi-Fi or internet signal go. So, it's been a while since we've had a chance to get to what I would call a new location. You know, we, like you said, we were at Kayla's last night, but that's the first time we've ever actually run the equipment, but we're familiar with the location itself. We've been there a number of times. Now, I'm curious, Jim, would you say, just from what you've read tonight, would you say that this may be one of the most active as far as the land itself goes that we've encountered?
No.
I mean, just not even the building, but the land it sits on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that very easily could be.
Because normally you don't get a lot of that. You know,
right.
At least we don't. We don't normally get locations that we choose to investigate that had the house not been there, we could still go, and that land itself was just ingrained with energy. I mean, there's been a few, but by and large, nothing like this. So all we can do is prepare ourselves mentally and physically, make sure all of our equipment is working and charged and batteries are good to go, and my giant block of Jet is still in my truck, so that'll be going with us, and I'm sure Jim will take the stones he knows that he needs for his protection, as will Haley. And we will go there, and we will pull up with utmost respect and do what we can to make amicable and meaningful conversation with the spirits of the Hinsdale House. And I think that's really all you can ask for, you know. Just some type of communication. See if they feel our energy enough to want to open up and trust us. And who knows, maybe there's something we can do. Maybe there's someone there that's ready to move on, and Haley could help with that. Or, as was Miss Kitzmiller last night at Kayla's house, she could move on. She just didn't want to. She was happy where she was, you know. And that's okay, too. So, episode kind of went quick tonight, but just went to break the news that we have, in fact, will be this time next week in Hinsdale, New York, at the Haunted Hinsdale House. And make sure you go to the Live Paranormal Facebook page for the 2-hour live show that we'll be doing from there. And till we see you again, everyone stay safe. Everyone stay healthy as best you can. And happy hauntings. Have a good evening.
You know, Marie, and then she posted a thing, and she...